God is really working with us, and he loves every one of us, and he wants us to really have that happy and smooth life, that joyous life, you know, living in Happyville, not down and outville, not depressedville, not emotionalville. But when, you know, things arise at times in our life and that can challenge our thinking or our emotions, situations, but really God is with us, you know, and if we keep our eyes on God, even in those situations, God will always bring the answers and bring the solution here, navigate you through the situation. You know, just like he navigated the children of Israel through the waters, he parted the waters, he's a way maker. And there's a wonderful verse of scripture that comes to my mind, and I shared it with someone today, you know, when we feel that we're just burdened down, oppressed, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you. Right, so temptation could be anything. Any area that's going to get you to come into worry, fears and doubts. There's no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will make a way for you to escape that you're able to bear it. So when the pressures of life come on in, and it could be all at once, there could be many different situations, there might be one big problem or many little problems, God says he won't allow you to freak out in the situation. He won't allow you to just, I just don't know what to do, and you lose your mind or you run away. There's no temptation taking you as such as common to man, but God is faithful. See, this is the key. God is faithful, and he won't allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but he'll make a way to escape. He'll get you into a place of safety so that you can think, you can pray, you can speak in tongues, you can give the burden, you can give the problem to God. And when we do that, you're bearing that situation until the deliverance comes, the answers comes, the solution comes. When everything's going on all at once, and your mind's just overloaded with all different situations, and, you know, nothing's in place. You know, you might have a situation over here with a family member, you might have a monetary problem over there, you might have a health problem, and there's just many little things that can build up, and it seems like the mountain, but it's an illusion. Because God says, you come to me, and you give me all your cares, you give me all your desires, you tell me your problems. It says, isn't it, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. So what's the request? Look, God, this is problems coming here, but this is not my problem, it's your problem. Because you're my God, you take care of me, you're my sufficiency in everything, so I'm bringing it to you and giving it to you, releasing it. And when we do that, even if you're feeling anxious, even if you're feeling turned up, go and get in that secret place with God and pray to God. Pour your heart out before him. You know, he will sustain you. He will bring the answers. He will bring the solutions. He will bring the deliverance. He will bring the direction. Don't be tempted to quit. Don't be tempted to give up. Don't be tempted to go to someone else. Go to God first. And even with the people that come to me, I encourage them, you know, you take this to God. Have you taken this to the Father yet? And what did he say? Oh, come and see me. All right, okay. And then, but God will always give the words. Because see, me, I'm nothing in and of myself. But because I've got the Spirit of God, and I desire to live unto God, I desire to minister to God's people, to help them, to be a blessing where I can be a blessing, God is able to use my mouth. See, it's God's hands behind our hands, behind our eyes, behind our ears, behind our mouth. And that makes each and every one of us very perfect, very powerful, unique, extraordinary. You are extraordinary. And when these problems present themselves, whatever manner it comes, and they can come in many forms, it's not that we're focusing on problems, but we need to know how to deal with them. We need to recognize, number one, who we are. We need to recognize where it's coming from, even if it's coming through circumstances of people, who's behind that. And we don't have to stand for it. You know, and sometimes you just have to put your heels down and say, no way. And we start speaking against it. We start speaking light. God, give me what to say in this situation. And then again, God wants us to give every burden to him. Right? He doesn't want you to have any weights on your shoulders. It also says in Hebrews that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us so that we can run the race with endurance. if you're weighed down and you're running in a race, you're going to tire out very quick. God doesn't want us to burn out. He doesn't want us to become so low that we're no good and we can't speak, or we haven't got confidence, or we go and hide ourselves away. No, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So it's the entrance of God's word that brings light. So when we start to say what God says, and we start to call those things which are not as though they were, then they can become. Like I shared last week, you know, it says in Acts how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. When you've got these situations going on, you're being oppressed, and you don't have to be oppressed because you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and you can get the navigation from God to how to handle yourself in those situations. And sometimes it might be a ride, you know, it might be a bumpy ride, but you stay in your seat, you stay with God, you stay seated at the right hand side in God, in your mind, in your heart, and in your words. I want to read a record here, and I love this record. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just a few verses, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. See, every fellowship is a church, you know, and Paul was dressed in this church with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. With God it's always grace. Grace is God's favor. Grace is that God does the work for you. Grace is when it's allowed to operate in your life from God, because you're submitted to him, then he manages your life. He can manage your situations. He can manage your problems. He can manage your burdens, giving you the answer, taking the burden off you so you can keep moving. And grace be to you. And peace. So grace and peace go hand in hand. When you're walking in the favor of God, when you're walking in the blessings of God, you got peace. It's that peace which passeth understanding when you do come into a challenge, when these challenges seem to arise. We don't ask for them. Nobody asks for problems, do they? I mean, I don't go around, God, please give me a problem so I can believe you. No, these things come up. So what do? We're believers. God wants us to believe him. I shared last week how Jesus Christ responded to faith words. When the guy says, you know, my daughter's at home and she's dead, but come and lay your hands on them. He didn't say, well, you don't know how long she's been dead. You know, the rigor mortis might have already set in. He didn't say none of that. He got up and he went with the intentions of raising her from the dead. And on the way, he got stopped a few times. But he finally got to his destination and he raised the girl from the dead. And that's the kingdom of God in operation in the earth, bringing the power of God, bringing God's solutions, bringing God's answers. So if you want answers and solutions, don't go to the well for them. Go to God for them. He'll give you perfect answers. He'll give you perfect solutions. He'll give you the wisdom like he gives Solomon when those two women brought that dead baby before him. God gave him perfect wisdom of what to do to get the answer to the problem. And so we need to kind of rest. Don't panic. Don't act in panic. Don't act out of fear. Because sometimes when things do face us, we can respond in fear. But God says, don't do that. You come to me, you give it to me, and wait. And God will give you an answer. God will move you in a certain way. He'll bring someone in, or he'll do something for you before you, so you can continue to move forward. And it says, blessed be the God, and blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Our God is the God of all comfort. He, you know, he's taking care of us. He's the Father of mercies. He's watching out. He sees what goes on. And he's loving us. He's pitying us. He's like, okay, this is my child. I'm going to take care of it. And then he'll bring us comfort so that we can believe. You know, because we're going to him. We're looking to him. We might not have the answer straight away, but we know God's going to come through. We don't know how he's going to do it, but we just know he's going to do it. And we stay in faith, and we stay saying the answer. We speak unto the mountain, and we tell it what to do. You know, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, command, you're given it a directive. You're given that mountain, that problem, a directive, and shall believe in the heart the things that he says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's whosoever, unbeliever, believer. But we got more authority there, guys. And whatsoever you desire or call for when you pray, believe that you receive them. You've already got it. See, faith is now. We believe we've already got what we desire now. Then it can become manifested. This is how we're to believe. It says in Isaiah 26, I've covered these verses with you before, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. This word mind is imagination. It also means frame. And so what do you put in a frame? A picture. And words paint pictures. So God gives us the faith to believe and what to believe and to believe rightly. When we believe those words, then we're building the image in our minds of victory, not the images of defeat, not the images of doubt, not the images of failure, because God never made a failure. And when we believe him, he will make sure we are victorious in every situation. He's got a name to uphold, and he's got children to uphold, and when we're believing him, he can do his work. Is when we don't believe, he doesn't violate your free will choice. If you want to stay in the slumber for 7 years, then you can, or 6 weeks, whatever, you can. He can't move until you go to him in faith. We can pray all we want, unless we're taking some action on what we're praying for, unless we're seeking the answers, unless we're seeking some counsel and encouragement, then we can stay in one place for a long, long time. We start sulking and then blaming everybody else for everything, and then pointing the fingers, and all of a sudden we're right down there, and then we're fighting to come back up. But thanks be to God, he's a God of deliverance. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace, right? It's absolutely beautiful. So it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. This word is philipsis. And it's like oppression. And Jesus Christ was sent to deliver all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God's with us. So we should be oppressed. And if anything tries to come on you to oppress you, you call it out. You cast it away. You command God's light to shine in that situation, because you have the authority. And we don't pay attention. Even though the emotions might be raging, you don't pay attention. Start saying what God says, because God will go to work with your faith words. God will go to work and he'll give you, and he'll navigate you. Even without you realizing that he can navigate you, and then you start seeing the light on, at the end of the tunnel if you're going through anything. So God is really with every one of us. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That word is terasso, and it means to be stirred up by various things, agitated. You know, when Jesus come, it says that he troubled the waters, and or the angels come and troubled the waters, and whoever got in the water would be healed. And that word troubled there means to agitate, you know, to stir it up. And when you start messing around with water, what does it do? It sends ripples. And so when fear and troubles come, we could be terrassoed. We could be stirred up and agitated by various different things. But we've got to recognize it. So once we recognize, what, I've got these emotions going on, I'm being terrassoed, or I'm being oppressed. I refuse this. Where the Spirit of the Lord, you start declaring, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I am at liberty. I am at freedom. Kingdom of darkness, flee. Spirits of oppression, flee. Spirits of depression, flee. Spirits of confusion, flee. Spirits of poverty, flee. Spirits of division, flee. Spirits, religious spirits, get out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You've got authority and you've got to use it. And use it with faith. You know, when you speak with faith on the lips of believing, Satan runs. And devil spirits are running right now. And they're running from the north to the south, to the east to the west, all over the world, away from where the light of God's word is being lived and where God's word is being spoken. Not man's traditions, not man's rightly dividing of the scriptures, but where people are moving by the Spirit of God from the right-hand side of God, because when you speak, you're speaking from the mouth of God. So we need to watch our words, because if we're speaking from the mouth of God, we don't want any negative thing to come out of our mouth. And that's why, you know, Paul exhorts in Romans, no, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And who are you proving it to? Yourself first, that God is true, God is faithful. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And when we take God at his word, he is obligated to perform it. And he's not only obligated, he wants to do it. It's from his heart. Like when Danny was talking about, when we do stuff, we do everything from the heart. Well, God does everything from his heart. Everything from God is energized by love, and love energizes faith. So when we got that mind of Christ on, and when we're being transformed, when we're not being conformed, so what is it? Take it further. Have a think about that word conform, fashion. So what is the world like when a problem comes up? They go and tell everyone. They go on a downer for weeks. Some people take it out on other people, violently or with words, or they attack. We're not to be like that. We're not to backbite. We're not to put someone down because they didn't say things just the way that we think that they should have said it. Because the Spirit of God is working within each believer that is believing God. And when we're believing God, you can guarantee heavenly words are going to come. That rhema word is going to come. And don't miss out on the rhema words, because your knowledge is getting in the way. Well, he's not going to scripture. He's not rightly... Listen, God has given perfect words. You know, the Pharisees were pretty much like that with Jesus, you know. But he spoke by the Spirit of God. He was led by God. And he spoke the heavenly words, and devils trembled and devils fled. I mean, even when he walked into place, he walked into the temple, and a devil spirit was in one of the young men there, and it screamed out. You know, he was on a boat going to another island. The man that had the legion of spirits run to him. The spirits were so afraid, they run to him. What have you done? Why are you coming here before the time? And he just told them to get out. Just one word, get out, go, go. That's the authority you've got, and we got to believe this, and we got to be confident in our God. We know we're nothing of ourselves, but we know we got the Spirit of God, so now we're something. Now we're extraordinary. Now we're a force to be reckoned with. And be bold in situations, if it's family, if it's friends, if it's close friends, or if it's someone you don't know and they're in your face, you say, back off. You tell them to back off, and it's all done with love, but God will give you the perfect words to say even in that situation. We don't have to take any negatives from anyone. We speak words of life, and the words that we give are words of encouragement. Just like when, just the simple words, you know, if you fold your washing up, look at that, your mind will be a lot more clear. And then I thought, okay, well, let's take that further. Let's show how we do it. Give an example. You've got to be a witness. If I said to Becky, you know, if you fold your clothes up, it'd be a lot more better, then took her to the cupboard and it was all over the place, oh, what? There's no, I'm not living it, am I? But there's a great example, and we should be example. And where you can be an example, where you can shine your light and show an example to someone, then show them in that area. And like I said, whatever I encourage on here, I'm doing, I'm living. As I've got no right to speak it, it'd just be religion. There'd be no power and authority behind it. And every word that I speak will come to pass, because God has given those words. His word does not return void, but what he sends it forth to accomplish in a person, if that person receives it, it will accomplish. It will either accomplish a positive result or a negative result. All depends on the receiver. So God is faithful, and God is so loving and kind. He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, all our oppression, that we may be able to comfort them which are any trouble, same word, that are also in oppression, by the comfort wherewith we are comforted ourselves. So how God can comfort me when I've gone through a situation or going through a situation, and then someone else comes and they got that same problem, or maybe a different problem, but is still given the same effects of oppression, then we can comfort them, we can encourage them, we can give them words of hope. You know, this year for me, God gave me that theme, that we're to abound in hope, expectation. You know, Abraham is the greatest example of that, our father of faith, right? You know, he hoped against hope. You know, in his physical, there was no hope for him and Sarah on the physical level, but because God spoke, he called it, God called it. And what he calls come becomes. When we believe, he can really go to work. And God worked with Abraham and Sarah's faith so that his purposes can come to pass in their life. So it's by Abraham and Sarah that these purposes come to pass. And Jesus Christ reconciled people back to God. God was working in Christ to reconcile the world back to himself. Now he's ascended, seated, risen, everything. Now we've been given the word and ministry of reconciliation. So now it's by us. We've got the ministry of Jesus Christ to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, bring comfort to the people, help those that are poor in spirit, bring deliverance, bring answers, bring solutions. It's not coming from our knowledge of working scriptures. It's coming from walking by the Spirit of God. Now, it's good to have knowledge, don't get me wrong, right? But we're not to live by that. We're to be living by God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. This is where growth happens. This is where the signs, miracles, and wonders can occur. And this is what we see in the power. Why do you think I'm going back there? Because I want to see and learn as much as I can. And I bring it back and I practice what I'm seeing. What I pick up, I do. I may not do it perfectly because it's a practice. So, but it will be perfected. So as we continue to follow the encouragement that we've been given in this Zoom fellowship, the more you practice, the more perfected it be. Like with honoring God. People run away when you honor God. They shut up and they think you're after their money. But if you want to prosper on every level, it starts there. And I can take you to the scriptures on it. I can show you. But you've got to be fully persuaded. If you're not fully, you might be a giver. Like, okay, I'll give a little bit here. But when you do it with God, at the direction of God, like Danny says, there's no percentages. What God puts in your heart. And God is going to be generous for you. Why? Why would God be generous for you? Because he knows the seeds that you plant and you sow, he's going to multiply them. Right? He wants you to be successful on every level. And it does start there. Like Kim mentioned earlier on, it took money to get to Nepal and India, right? And you have to believe God. And sometimes you have to believe God when you're moving on those trips as well. You just go. You might not have everything, but as you go, it will come. God is faithful. He's full of mercy, compassion. He knows our needs. He'll never let us down. And you know what? God will always take care and he'll promote you if you hold the line in your faith, in your confession, in your example, and in your ministry. And God wants everyone on here to be successful. Everyone on here to really lead. All of us can be lead. No, you are leaders. It's there. The potential's there for everyone. But it all depends, you know, if you're what type of person you are. Are you listening to other people? Well, they said I couldn't do that. And they said this about Lawrence, and they said this about Sangha, and they said this about Kim. And then you believe the lie. But if they got fruit, just look at the fruit. There could be many fellowships around, and they could have 20 people in their fellowships. Same old people, but they're there. Look at the fruit. What's really going on? Because when I look at the fruit in India and Nepal, is from 2006, I've gone over nearly 27 times, right? From 2006, all it's done is grown. Every day, new people, new fellowships, new areas, new laborers, new leaders. And they're rising up, they're popping up like popcorn everywhere over there because the people's hearts are humble. People's hearts are really desiring. And according to your level of desire and how much you want this, how much do you really want to walk with God? How much? There's lots of people that have got many desires that they wanted to do when they first become born again. They still haven't seen that. But you've got to go after it, baby. Never give up. Keep moving forward because God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above your expectation of what you've desired. You may not have seen it happen for years, but you know what? It still can happen. It just takes a humble heart, maybe some fine-tuning, maybe some changing some ideas and thinking, maybe going back to the scriptures also to relook what you've learned in the light of what we're saying. And then you'll see, oh my gosh, I was really blind to this simple way. Because this way is a simple way. Like I told you, when I got kicked out of school, I couldn't read or write. And to sit and talk in the manner that I do and the things that I'm doing, I'm blown away myself. And I know it's God, so I give him all the glory. I'm like, Father, look at the way that you work. Like I said that? And I said, this? And like, people could look at you and think, oh, he's so vain. Well, Kim does. She says, oh, you're so vain. I said, no, but love, I couldn't read or write when I left school. I had no hope of achieving or accomplishing anything. And it's only my hope and faith in God and my dependence upon me, on him to help me and to do a favor for me, to help me in my life, that he's actually done that. Everything I've really desired, oh God, if I really would like to do this, but I'm not qualified. I don't know what to say. I'm not very clever like other people. God gives you the wisdom. God can give you wisdom. He gave it to Solomon. Yeah? And he can give it to you. You don't have to go to any Bible college. You don't have to go to any seminar. You don't even have to go to any church. God is looking for men and women that will walk with him and not be afraid to speak what he puts in their heart because somebody else is saying it's not right. Because if you're getting the fruit and you're getting results and people are being delivered and people are being reconnected to God to walk with them, you're moving in the right way. You are moving in the right way. And you may not be right in everything you say, but God's not looking at that. He's looking at the heart. He's a heart searcher and surgeon. He can change your heart. And so when we just keep it very simple, then you'll move very powerfully. So there's many other things. Let me just finish off what I was going to say. So, who comfort us in all our tribulation, oppression, you know, pressures in the mind also, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we are comforted ourselves, we know how God's delivered us. We know how God has healed us. We know how God has provided for each and every one of us, don't we? Now you can go and tell someone else, God can do this for you. If you believe, God will go to work for you, because my God doesn't respect anybody above anybody else. The only thing that he respects is your faith. He loves you. He's deeply in love with everyone. He loves the world. But what gets God to go to work is your faith on the words that he's given you to believe. But unfortunately, a lot of people believe the words of tradition and religion, and they believe the words and narratives of the world. There's only one narrative, and that's God's narrative. And, you know, people say, you're a bit radical, aren't you, Laura? You know, some of my unbelieving family, you're very radical. Yeah, I am, mate. Was Jesus radical? His family said he was mad, didn't they? Lots of people, you know, kind of try to hinder him. But his will was to do his Father's will. And we can have the same heart and mind. We got the mind of Christ. We got the mind of Christ, but have we been conditioned to the world too much? God first. If you want the blessings, God first. And ask God to teach you to get him first. He'll help you. He's not asking you to do it in your own strength. He gives you the word so you can believe. He'll show you what to practice. And if you do that humbly before him, he'll help you. And then you start getting clear in your mind. This is right. Oh my God, look at the results. Look how loving my God is. He's taking care of everything. He's gone before me. He's paved the way. And he's set me upon my high place. He's made my feet like hinds feet and set me upon my high place. He's ordered my steps in his word. So there's no sin that can have dominion over me. So you've been set free by Christ. Stay free. And when these challenges and opposition come, you go to God. I'll finish off, I don't know, I just really feel like reading scriptures from last fellowship and this one. But I'll read this because it is beautiful. So this is Peter. And he says, the elders, 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. So Peter was addressing leaders, who am also an elder. I'm the same as you, he's saying, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And if we go through anything, we're going to be part of that glory too, right? He says, suffering of Christ, and also partake of glory that shall be revealed. First two, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraints, but willing, of a willing heart, not for filthy lucre, money or material gain, or wealth or possessions. We're not doing that, we're not in it for that, right? But of a ready mind, you know what needs to be done, you've been instructed. and you know what needs to be done. So don't sit on your backside and don't do nothing with it, because you can really move right now. Even if you haven't done nothing for years, you can move right now. It's just a decision. It's one step away, one foot away to start moving really powerfully. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. So our life should be an example. Like I said, I showed Becky those things, that, you know, all those folded clothes and all that, as an example. You know, I won't just bump in my guns and then my own wardrobes are messy or disorganized. So you can have it like this, and it really helps the mind. You know what I mean? And it was just encouraging. It was the inspiration of God stuff, you know, because I'm not. So to be quite honest with you, I don't fold any clothes. Do I? I don't do any iron or washing. I mean, I'm a kept man by my wife. She loves me and she serves me very well. And she's very loving with it as well. And she doesn't want me to do it. She says, you don't do it properly. So she takes over that. But she does all that stuff. You know, and Amber also comes and helps out as well. So it's nice and fresh and clean. And it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but an example to the flock, those that are in front of you. Be an example to them. Look, I'm doing this. So if I'm encouraging, honoring God, I better be doing it myself. And I do. Right? I do.
Except fold washing.
But I honor God. If I'm talking about faith and confession, I better be practicing that. Kim will be a witness to that also.
Yeah.
I better be speaking in tongues. I'm better, but like if I'm encouraging you to do it and I'm not doing it myself, then I'm a hypocrite. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm not perfect in everything, but I do what I'm encouraging others. And I see the fruit of it and the results. So then I've got conviction to encourage others. That's why I might seem a little bit passionate, a little bit strong when I share, because I know it works. You know, when you know something works, then you're not going to back down from it, are you? Because you know this works. Do it. Please do it. You're going to get blessed. Anyway, and it says, and when the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's rewards. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And this is the beauty. I love this. Be clothed with humility, humbleness. For God resists the proud. Well, I know this. I've taken this class, that class, and I've done it 20 million times, just like I have, right? Which I have many, many times. Right, but for God resisted the proud, and he gives what? That beautiful grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble, those that are dependent upon God, waiting to get the answers, waiting for that wonderful encouragement to come as they've gone to God and God's shown them to connect to someone. And then it says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. All of us are to do this, that he may exalt or lift you up in due time. And this is how he says, cast in all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God says, all your cares you give to me, because I care for you and I can take care of your care. So God can take care of your problem. So he says, cast in all your cares upon him, whatever it is, whatever area in life it is, it doesn't matter. Sure, I can't tell God that. He knows it anyway. So cast all these cares to God, for he cares for you. And then it says, be sober. Now, what's the opposite to sober? Being drunk, right? Or, you know, so we don't want to be drunk in our minds with the world, drinking off the words of the wicked. We don't want to be thinking that way. But we keep ourselves sober in our thinking through the heavenly words, through the beautiful, great, and precious promises that are written therein. That's how we keep sober, by the focus. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Because your adversary, the devil, is personal. It's our adversaries together, but it's personal. He's after you, all right? But he ain't got no jurisdiction or authority over you. But it's just like an exaltation. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may defile. Ah, this one's weak. We'll have a little dig at them, all right? Okay, little devil spirits, come and put a lot of pressure there, and you in this area there, let's get him bummed out, and then we can just take him out. That's why we go to God, because sometimes we can be, things can just come on, there's lots going on, and confusion starts, and you lose your peace, and then there's no faith. So God just says, you come to me, get yourself still, be still, know that I am God, and give it to me, and I'll take care. I can go to action on your behalf, right? And he's doing it anyway, by his grace and love. And we walk about seeking to be made devour. And as I once heard, no, the lion roars in order to freeze its prey. And when the prey is frozen with fear, then it can just take it out. You know? So don't listen to the roar. It's just a roar. And like Sange and the Indian leaders say, devil spirits are dogs without teeth. Yeah, they can roar and bark, but they can't bite if you don't let it, if you understand this, right? Whom resist steadfast to the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. If you're going through something, you can guarantee other believers are going through something. Satan wants to isolate you so he can control you, making you think that you're the only one that's going through this. And you might be the only one going through that particular situation, but other people are going through other things. So the pressure's on. And he wants you to think, you're the only one going through it. Woe is me, poor old me. I'm getting my ass kicked, but everyone's doing all right. But other people might be having a tough time too. But when we start to recognize this, like, that's why there's a safety in a multitude of counselors, and we come together, we pray, we speak in tongues, we let the Spirit of God work in individuals, and God speaks, and then he's shown up, oh, it's just him playing around, because he's dog without teeth, right? And we don't believe the lies. Satan can only steal from you if you believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. So you've got to know what the truth says, and God can also give you the truth. So whom resist steadfast of faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace. See, we need to be moving in this grace. We're all in the age of grace, but we need to be living in that grace. Also, honoring God, God causes all grace to abound towards you in every area, right? So, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, you might go through things for a little bit. Not that he's letting you go through, it's just what's going on. He will make you perfect, establish, he will strengthen you, and he will settle you. See, when you might go through something for a little period of time, it's happened to all of us, and maybe at times, in different times it's happened, but if we stay with God, he'll always settle us, he'll always strengthen us, and when we look at it, we think, my God, like, I could have dealt with this easy, but when you're going through it, you can't see the wood through the trees. And that's why we're one body of Christ. And that's why I always encourage you, don't need to go off for a whole week. And yeah, it's good to pray, but you don't have to isolate yourself from everyone else. Go where people believe. Go where people are speaking heavenly words. Go where people will give you the right direction. We'll speak the truth. We'll minister in that. Someone that's walking by the Spirit can discern things as well and can help out. So God has given us safety valves everywhere. We're protected, guys. And he sends his angels. Don't forget there's angels at work here as well. And they go to work on the words of God. And when we're speaking out of their mouth, they're going to work. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. Angels, all the days of your life, right? God will send his angels before you to clear out the path, to make a way where there seems no way. How do you think God gets his work done in the earth? He gets it done through us here on the earth, in the earth, also the angels, and whatever other means he chooses to use, because he's God, and he can do whatever he wants. And our God is the God, you know, but he's got a standard. And when we all operate within that standard of faith and believing and confession, then the deliverance comes. Anyway, that's what I wanted to share.